Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Here's the question, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. If a team has positive cases for coronavirus, like the St. Louis Cardinals did today in Major League Baseball, you're the commissioner. You're Rob Manfred. How long until they get to play again? Initially, before the season started, we all thought you just pull the players that tested positive out and everyone else keeps playing. Society was up in arms. The media lambasting the commissioner went nuts, had a field day with the fact that the Marlins played a game even though the players who had tested positive were removed, and they played anyway, knowing that there were players who tested positive that they were around and had interacted with, because it meant very likely that other players on that team would soon test positive. As it's turned out, that has happened. Now, remember that on the first day of the season, when we found out Juan Soto had tested positive for the coronavirus, he got pulled out, and the Nationals played anyway. Now, because maybe it was a false positive, but regardless of for what reason, no other Nationals have tested positive since. Nobody talks about that. But that was just as absurd or ridiculous or absolutely irresponsible, I'm assuming, according to a lot of these reporters and fans, as what the Marlins did, right? Because the Nats had a positive test. So, you fast forward now to today. The Cardinals have two positive tests of players in their clubhouse. They don't get to play tonight. If they play tomorrow, that goes back to kind of what we thought before the season started. You take the guys away that are positive. Everyone who's negative keeps playing. But based on the precedent that's been set with the Marlins, with the Phillies who haven't played since this weekend despite zero players failing coronavirus tests, and other games that have been postponed, it seems like they are being cautious, which is fine. Use an abundance of caution. The goal should be on finishing the season, not playing tonight's one game. Understood. But we're asking you, how should this be handled? How should this be done? Danny, here's a tweet we got from Hollywood SG. It says, "You guys are missing something. In the state of Maryland right now, if you travel to see one of the hotspot states, they're asking you to quarantine yourself for 14 days so that you aren't tested positive. There were waivers signed with baseball teams so that those policies do not matter for them.
There are no road games then, if that's the case for baseball.
Correct. If you had to quarantine for 2 weeks every time you left the state, you couldn't have a season. So D.C. and everyone else, these municipalities, signed off for these teams to not have to follow those rules. The difference is that if Hollywood, whoever this guy tweeting us is, appreciate you listening, or you or me travel, we're not getting tested. So when we come back to Virginia, we might have coronavirus, and it might be in our body for 14 days. And if that's the case, because we don't know, because we're not being tested, and we're certainly not getting our tests back quickly, it takes about 10 days, according to a doctor that I talked to recently, to get those test results back. So you have to quarantine for 14 days in case you got it and in case you have it for the full duration of that time. These guys are testing every single day. We know if they have it or they don't. So these places like Washington, D.C., municipalities, they signed off on allowing for different rules for Major League Baseball. And he says, as I explained that to him, I said, those policies don't apply to MLB teams. He said, if that's the case, then why is Juan Soto not playing yet? Why is D.C. not allowing him to play? And to that I answer, precisely. I don't have that answer. I can't answer your question because they essentially told the Nats he'd be able to play when he passed those two tests and baseball said he could. And now they're treating him as if he's Danny Soto or Juan Paulson. I can't answer your question. But right, so, what we're asking is, what would you do?
Yeah, and each city's got their own, you know, government. They got their own, you know, sort of the rules that they're deciding to follow. And D.C.'s, of course, has made it up as they went along for the entirety of this thing. But their latest is, now it's a very strict mask policy. Now it's a strict quarantining. Although they're giving, you know, passes if you came in from Maryland or Virginia, two states that would absolutely qualify as hotspots, by the way, in normal times, but that's not convenient, so we'll just blame it on Florida or something else. So the point is, what should have happened is, you know, if let's say the Mets were coming to play D.C. this week, what should have happened if there aren't waivers signed, that the Mets would have to show up, quarantine for 14 days in a hotel, and then they could come play the Nationals. You can't have a season that way. So everybody's gotten to deal with governments, and they figured out a way to get exemptions there. But ultimately, to answer the question about the Cardinals, my plan would be very simple. I go, what happened? How did we get here? Because you can't just treat every situation the same. We got here because two guys tested positive after they were in a confined space with the team on a flight coming back home from their road trip. And I go, great chance for a spreader event. I'm going to take extra set of precautions. Everyone's getting tested today, and then everyone's getting tested tomorrow. Everyone that tested negative twice, I will see you guys on Sunday for your game, or probably games on Sunday. If you tested positive, you're going to get Juan Soto, basically. You're just relegated right to an endless stream of horrible uncertainty.
Well, to your point, I wonder this, and I think I know the answer, but I'll just ask it rather than telling it. If the Nats were playing in Fredericksburg, would Juan Soto have played in three or four games by now? I mean, it's so specific to the locale, correct? Mm. So if you were in Virginia and they were playing at that Fredericksburg minor league ballpark and D.C. had never granted them permission in the waiver, I wonder. I mean, he's been cleared by baseball since the beginning of this week. If Soto would just be playing games over and over again after passing one test after another. Let's go to Dave, who's in Silver Spring on line one. Dave, if you were the commish, how would you be handling a positive test or two for teams like the Cardinals?
Well, I have a different perspective because I got the virus and I got pretty sick. And I was in isolation for 12 days. And my family was quarantined for 14 days. The reason we're where we're at is because nobody wants to follow the guidelines, right? So the situation is the Marlins is not a surprise because I'm assuming, and I don't know, that the quarantine thing wasn't a factor, and then that's why those numbers took off. And don't be surprised if the Cardinals situation takes off. This is a BS 60-game schedule, right? Teams aren't going to play 60 games. It's going to be a BS World Series winner. And the league, Major League Baseball, decided we're going to reduce the number of games dramatically because of this virus. It's a perfect opportunity now that's what's going on for them to say, you know what, we can't do it. How do you reduce your schedule by 102 games? You're clearly sending a message that we're concerned about the virus, but you're going to say, well, you know what, it's okay if 1 or 2 days, everything's good after 1 or 2 days. That's not the guideline. The CDC says 14 days of quarantine, and I'm assuming that the owners are feeling the pressure of losing millions and billions of dollars.
But, Dave, let me ask you this. The CDC guidelines, correct, are based on people like you and I who are not being tested all the time. If we know whether we have it or not, that they're not just skirting the guidelines and not testing. If they weren't testing, they'd have to go by the guidelines. The reason for is because people don't know if they have it. These players know if they have it.
Right, but I'm saying that once they've been told they have it, which all these players have been, the guideline is 14 days of quarantine, right?
Right. That's no one disputes that, right?
Yes, but here's my point. It's 14 days of quarantine because it could be in their body for 2 weeks. They're quarantined. They are. It might be 14 days if they still have it. The point is that they're testing every single day. So if in 6 days they start testing negative and they don't have it anymore and they're not contagious, that's why they got this waiver to be able to come back. Just like if you were testing positive every single negative every single day, you wouldn't have to be quarantined for 14 days. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm just saying once it's been determined that they're positive, I like you said, if they get tested the next day and they're positive, and they get tested the next day and they're positive, at what point, what's happening between all those days? What are they
they're
doing?
They're not around their team. The moment that they find out they're positive, they're gone. The trick is, and the thing that's screwing up the Marlins and some other teams is, in that day, the lag of the results, so like the test they get back today is from yesterday. So let's say a guy gets positive on the test today. He was around that team since yesterday. He could have infected a bunch of guys while he was positive potentially. But as soon as they find out that Dave or Grant or Danny are positive, we are quarantined. We're nowhere near the rest of the team. We're gone. We're away until we test negative multiple times.
What's your opinion about them reducing the number of games and now having teams that aren't even going to play 60 games? I mean, whoever wins the World Series, I got to believe it's just a tainted thing. I mean, if I go 35 and 25, and or I don't even play 60 games, and I wind up winning the World Series. It just it doesn't seem like it's worth it at this point.
It's a fake year. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, buddy.
And it's awful that you had it, and you had the brutal 12 days, it sounds like, and I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, you're talking to someone who believes that this thing is real and is serious and wears a mask. I'm not some truther screaming about this thing not being legitimate, okay? Your question to me, though, is what is my opinion on the season? I think the season is the weirdest season we've ever had. It's fraudulent. Yeah. The World Series champion's not going to be like a normal World Series champion. You got games with quirky rules. You got seven-inning doubleheaders. I think it stinks, largely. If you're asking me would I rather do this or not have any baseball until next spring, I would rather do this. Absolutely, I would rather do this. And in terms of the cases, players have had a choice. Do they want to take the risk of getting this virus or not? Many of them said they're not going to. Nick Markakis opted out, said, I'm not going to participate. I don't want to get this. Then he watched and said, you know what? These are real games. My buddies are having fun. I am going to take the risk. So he's now rejoining the Atlanta Braves to try to play. But what that means is, so Ryan Zimmerman or someone like that could jump in, I guess. I didn't know that that was even possible. But Nick Markakis is rejoining Atlanta now after watching some of these games. So do I necessarily think that this is helpful to the cause of getting rid of all the cases in the country? No, unless you're playing in a bubble, you're probably in some way adding to the cases and adding to the trouble because you're interacting with people at gas stations and grocery stores. But when you're testing positive and you know it, you're separated. You're not allowed to go out. They're following the same rules that you did or anyone else who has COVID did, the difference being they get to test and find out when they're negative. So, yeah, if you're asking me, do I think the World Series champion accomplished the same thing as the Nats did last year? Danny, of course I don't. I don't believe that.
Yeah, it's fluky. It's weird. I still want it. You know, if I can get it, I'll take
it. Give me what you can give me. Grant and Danny on the Fan, thank you for the call. And, again, that's awful that you had to deal with that, and I'm sorry to hear that. But appreciate you hopping in. 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Alan May of NBC Sports Washington is going to join us at 1:30. Looking forward to talking with him. The NHL's back tomorrow. We can run through some of the heavy hitters and the teams that have the best chance to make a deep run. Also want to get a preview for everybody on the Caps. They have a great opportunity with rest. Looked awesome in the first couple periods against Carolina of their first exhibition game going into this round robin start of next week on Monday. But maybe they can go deep into the playoffs and make another cup run of sorts. In the NHL, unlike baseball in the bubble, it looks real and authentic, and the fact that there aren't fans is not really a factor. It's neat to watch, and if you haven't seen it yet, I think you're going to be really impressed with the way that they've done everything in Toronto and in Edmonton, where the bubbles are working and they're having no cases, and it seems like they're going to get through the next several weeks of their postseason. Let's go to Carl in Warrington on G&D. Carl, you've got a thought about football as it relates to baseball's fiasco right now.
Yeah, I mean, it looks right now like it's obvious to me baseball really should have gone with a bubble, and I'm wondering whether football really needs to rethink what they're doing right now. They're not planning on using one, but it seems obvious to me that this thing with baseball isn't working right now.
So here's what I would say to you, though. Do you think it's possible for the NFL to pull off a bubble? Because I'm sure if they could, they would. But you're asking players from now, on July 31st with camp underway, until the end of January in the playoffs, or if they don't make the playoffs, to the end of December. So basically for at least 4 full months to be away from their families, to be away from their kids, their wives, to be secluded and quarantined essentially. Do you really think that's something that's even doable?
I mean, it's something that's tough to talk about, but how long is hockey going to be in the bubble?
Half that long or less? I mean, hockey's going to be over by mid-August, so a month and a half, I guess. By the end of August. So a month, probably 5 weeks, something like that.
I mean, it's 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, they started last week, so I guess about 6 weeks. I mean, that is a big ask, but, I mean, if we're really worried about players' health and players' safety, I mean, there's really no way to do it safely outside of a bubble is what we're seeing anyway.
It's so far the sample favors what you're talking about. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I think your point's reasonable, honestly.
Yeah, you know, so you hope that this it gets cleaned up somehow, and I think that's what these pro sports leagues that are not doing bubbles have basically hoped, a.k.a. the leagues that needed to start, not the leagues that needed to finish. The leagues that needed to finish, you know, got interrupted and had some time, and they said, we just have to get through this small sample. Let's all pull the rope in the same direction. Leagues that were starting are rife with labor problems. People couldn't get together on collective bargaining and a bunch of other things, and you're basically saying, hey, we trust all you guys. And again, all it takes is the weakest link in that, you know, 50, 60, 70 person chain in a given organization to get a COVID case. And it seems like shut everything down here for days or maybe even weeks.
I mean, that call summed up succinctly was him, football should do a bubble. Me, they probably can't actually do one. Him, well, if they can't have a season. And I'm not rebuttaling by saying he's wrong. You know, in the sense that I'm not rooting against football having a season. I want so badly for there to be season. It's so important to me that they do. I hope that they give a college try and they do everything they can. And if there is no bubble and they're trying to have a season, God bless them. I'm certainly not touching the button to shut them down, and I don't want that to happen. But I'm not going to sit here and argue that it's going to be easy to pull off or that they're going to be able to do it. I can't do that with any confidence. The good news is that you've got 5 weeks still until the season starts, and who knows what's going to be in 5 weeks from right now. Could be worse, could be better. I guess the other good news for the NFL, and this is something people don't talk about a lot, it makes the bubble more impossible, but I think it makes dealing with COVID much easier in this sense. They play once a week.
Yeah.
Baseball is every single day. You can't push back this game and go, well, you can't play tonight because you got four more games coming up with this team, or you're out of that city and you got three games against another team starting tomorrow. In football, it's just Sundays or Mondays or the occasional Thursday, but you're playing one time a week. So if we're getting rid of guys and we're taking tests for 3 or 4 days like the Phillies are or the Marlins are, we have a much better understanding of who needs to be tested again and who doesn't based on playing once a week. I think that's huge.
And here's what they should do, by the way, is some kind of hybrid. And here's what I mean. You cannot put an NFL organization, let alone 32 of them, into a bubble. I just think it's too many people. It wouldn't work. The NBA could barely do it, and they have rosters
a
quarter of the size.
Where would they even have a football bubble where there's enough fields? How could you even do that in terms of, again, you cannot play games more than once a week, really, in the NFL.
Right.
So how would you even do it? There's too many teams, not enough fields.
So here's the way I would do it. Each team would be their own. So for me, for example, players have off for, you know, a couple days after a Sunday game, right? Let's say you got to go in for treatment, but bear with me. Let's say their first practice is on Wednesday. You have a big line, and you show up Wednesday, and you get yourself tested. And then once you have tested, and it's determined that you're negative, or however the lag would work, but just bear with me. It's determined that you're negative, then you enter into a bubble for that week. For your team. So you still get to be around your families. You still get to be with your wife and your kids and you know, whatever interest that you've got leading up to that. But now you're going to check in to the team hotel, quote unquote, on Thursday. And then you kind of go about your week that way. I would try to get something like that passed if
but
I was
you're
the
still
NFL,
going to and
so you
from
know,
practice.
If
you're still going to and from the field. I mean, that to me, that's not that different than what they're already doing, other than
I think
that
it's
you're staying
very
in a
different.
You're staying in a hotel away from your family. That's the big difference. But you're still going to and from practice, which is not in a bubble, if you're at a hotel.
Well, it's not the NBA's doing it. That's a bubble. I mean, you're in the bubble.
Yeah,
you've got to travel
but the
somewhere.
NBA, there aren't random strangers. I mean, there aren't random people. It's just them in Orlando at their facility. So if you're
I'm saying
the Gaylord
your team
Hotel
bus driver,
in Maryland.
Yeah, your team bus driver, your physician, everybody is now in that bubble. And you basically do a bubble each week. And if you're not eligible to get inside that bubble because you failed the test, you get your butt separated. Because when you go your separate ways after the game to be able to see your family and everybody else, whoever you want to see, you live your life, do as you see fit. Then when you come back and try to re-enter the bubble for that week's game, you have to test negative. I would try to do something like that.
Right, but I guess my point is, like, Spring Hill Suites in Ashburn is near the facility where Washington trains, right? So let's say from Thursday on they stay at Spring Hill Suites. Are they renting that whole hotel out? Because otherwise there are people in the hotel with them, a la baseball. That's inherently not a bubble. I mean, it's just a hotel you're staying in with other people. People like me and you can go that aren't being tested, touching the same buttons, in the same lobbies. So then they're at that hotel, and then you're leaving that hotel, your quote-unquote bubble, and going to and from practice. Now, I guess if you're just on the bus, getting dropped off at the park and coming straight back, then there's not a whole lot of interaction with other people. But Yeah, I guess that's a loose bubble. It's better than maybe nothing. It's better than just staying at home with your wife who's going to work and your kids who, I guess they're not going to school, but are going to a buddy's house to play Xbox or something like that, potentially. Alan May covers the Caps and the NHL for NBC Sports Washington. He'll get you ready for hockey, which starts again tomorrow next right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I find myself ready for my protein bar. I normally eat for the first time right at 2 o'clock after the show, Danny. Break the fast. So right around now, I get famished. What's for dinner at the Rouye household tonight? Do we know?
I don't know yet.
Friday night, you could let it ride a little bit. That's probably like a pizza night or something for the kids, right?
In theory, yesterday, we were pretty tired. Lo and behold, we didn't know how bad last night was going to be. Well, we were pretty tired, so we ordered Thai food from iThai, a place that we love. And I pummeled curry, some delicious pineapple fried rice, and just violated all my dietary restrictions and problems there. So I'm back to being puffy. But, so I don't know. I don't know what tonight holds.
I like that after one day, you're back to being puffy. So how are we in Operation Drop the 27? Wait, I said that wrong. What was the number? Oh, wait, it was
27.2.
2.2 pounds that you gained on your two-week vacation. How many pounds of the 27 do you think you've dropped so far?
6 or 7, maybe.
I got to be more. I mean, like 10 of those are probably fake. You know how that works. You get back from vacation, all that water weight, all that fake weight will fall right off.
I hope so. I could use it. I could use some of that. I could use that number being less. It just stares at you, man. You know, you can't trick it. You can't lie to it. You can't, like, you know, it's not like the like some sort of a weigh-in for a wrestling match or boxing match or something. We can kind of lean on a wall and pretend. Nope, it's real. It's yours, man. Live with it. Live with that big number staring right down, right past your big toe.
Let's talk a little puck. We were going to catch up with Alan May here, and we'll get him on the horn when we track him down. But the NHL 24-team tournament begins tomorrow. Eastern Conference in Toronto, Western Conference in Edmonton. Top four teams, Bruins, Lightning, Caps, and Flyers in the East. Blues, Avs, Golden Knights, and Stars in the West. Automatically going to make the playoffs and are going to participate in a round robin that's just going to determine seeding 1 through 4 to help them figure out who gets who in the next round. Meanwhile, there's a qualifying round between teams 5 through 12. Four teams get eliminated in that round. Four teams advance, and then they will play the top four teams that already get their byes into the playoffs, at which point your normal playoffs begin. Best of 7, series, 3 rounds all the way through. The cool thing, I think, is that when you get to the conference finals, the two teams in the East go out to Edmonton, so there'll be a Final Four in Edmonton in that bubble, and at that point the families can come. But because the cases are so low comparatively in Canada, and because you haven't really had any issues with COVID comparative to the United States, the bubble is working beautifully. Let's welcome Alan May onto the show on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Alan, good to talk to you again, buddy. Hockey looks great on TV, I got to tell you. Compared to some of the other sports, I don't know what you've thought, but it's been a pleasure watching some of these games. It looks like we're picking up where we left off.
Well, they're dominating. The NHL has done everything correctly with their back to play. And I think it's spectacular. The villages they built, but the environment within the arenas that they're playing in is spectacular. It looks like an EA Sports video game. And you look at that, and always being pumped in, the quality of the broadcast, the new camera techniques, and everything will be even better tomorrow when we start getting the games for real, because they're taking a lot of advice on what works, what doesn't work right now. And I'm happy it's back, and I think the NHL deserves a lot of applause for what they've done to keep these players safe, their teams, the people that were working to get going. It's been very well thought out. And I was on a conference call the other day, or a Zoom call, and it was about the 7,000th call that the NHL had made without him getting back to playing. So they put a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of effort into this.
Alan, how would you approach this? Because you were a player for so long. This unprecedented, bizarre layoff. I mean, guys have had a few weeks because of the Olympics or All-Star break or injury rehab or whatever, but not like this. How would you approach these games coming back?
Well, everyone's in great shape now. It's a lot different than when I played. There was only, you know, I'd say at the start of my career, probably 25% of the team that was in shape year-round. And there was other groups of players that were never seemed like they were in shape. So now it's a lot different. these guys have been, they were in, you know, playoff mode, almost ready in playoff shape before they went down. And through the first part, was to get motivated to work out, not knowing whether it was going to happen. And then as they started to talk and get dates, the players ramped it up. And some of these players look like they're in better condition than they've ever been in as far as the Caps are concerned. I look at Ovechkin, who's been phenomenal the past two seasons showing up in camp. He's been outstanding. Kuznetsov is at another level. Tom Wilson. And you can just go down the list. These guys are excited. Had a lot more time to think about the game, just as every player has around the league. But right now, it just looks business as usual. There's going to be a lot more focus because you kind of put the real world away because you're living in this bubble right now, and they're probably having the times of their lives.
Alan May is with us on G&D here on The Fan. The Caps are in the initial round robin with the Bruins, Lightning, and Flyers. Of those teams, or maybe you can even go wider out to the Eastern Conference when the playoffs start, who do you think is going to be a thorn in their side? Give me a team or two that you think really makes some sense with this layoff as being able to benefit.
Well, everyone's starting from zero, but as far as coming after this round robin, you know, the games are very serious. And I took the other day the preseason game very seriously, and the players were playing at a higher level than I've seen in the last 20 years in a preseason game, which I thought was excellent. But as far as the first round, you're just getting through this round robin. You're trying to refine some of your stuff that you need to work on. The special teams, and you have three good teams at that you're going against: Boston, Philly, and Tampa. And they've got to figure out a way to play Philadelphia more than they have to worry about Toronto and Tampa. But I wouldn't put too much stock in those games. And then when you get down to it, the team that to me scares me the most for the Capitals is the Columbus Blue Jackets because of their work ethic. They're in your face. Tortorella is brutal. They call it Camp Tortorella for training camp. So this team has had two of those now, and they're ready. And you saw how well they played this season, Grant. They had 10 and 12 players out of the lineup at a time. Star players. One night had one regular defenseman dressed. They had five call-ups and part-timers. So they're the kind of team that scares me. They don't have an Ovechkin. They don't have any threats like that. They don't have a dynamic Kuznetsov or a passer like Backstrom or a killer like Tom Wilson. But they get in your face. They believe that they can go against all odds and seek victory. So the Caps are going to have to play a way more physical brand of hockey if they want to beat them. If they want to play in the perimeter, Columbus can take them down. But if they go and play the same system against the Blue Jackets, that would tell me that the Capitals are ready to win another Stanley Cup.
Alan, how might this time away benefit the Capitals, and how do you think it might hurt them?
Well, the benefit is, the first thing I think of is a healthy Michael Kempe. And he was off all season. Kempe came off of that hamstring surgery. And you know, anytime you have a major knee surgery, a hamstring surgery, an abdominal surgery, it takes a while to get going. So it's almost like he already had the season prepared. He wasn't himself all season. He struggled, and I really like the way he's looked in the training camp session. The game the other day, he had his legs back. And when John Carlson and he were back together, that makes this team so much better. So I just look at having those injuries come back and guys be healthy. TJ Oshie plays such a tough game. To have him back at 100% health, he's usually a little banged up because he takes a lot of hits, throws a lot of hits. You know, he probably lets himself get hit up top a little too much. But I just think that type of rest, and then with Braden Holtby, having him come back refreshed and at a time when the team will be playing better defense for him, I think it'll really help him, which will help the team.
Alan May on G&D. You'll see him all over NBC Sports Washington as they have ramped their Caps coverage back up for the stretch run. Mayday, great having you back on the show. It's awesome to be talking puck with you again. Can't wait to see the boys early this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy.
Yeah, see you, buddy. Well, Monday, the Caps will be back in action. And tomorrow, an all-day hockey schedule. I think that's what gets me most excited for these sports, Danny, is just you're breaking the normalcy of there's a game here and a game there. How about noon, 3, 4, 8, and 10:30 start times in the NHL tomorrow, staggered. 3 p.m. Chicago and Edmonton, 8 p.m. Pittsburgh and Montreal, nationally televised on NBC tomorrow.
And the Caps are
go.
Sunday or Saturday?
Monday.
Monday. Ugh, that's too long for me to wait. I need that. I need the Capitals, please. Figure out a way to get that to me sooner. Come on. Hurry up. Give it to me.
8-3, they play the Lightning. So the 3rd of August, and then the, I believe the 6th and the 9th are going to be their other games as they get ready, staggering those round-robin games. So they'll go Monday, Thursday, Sunday next week. But it's all to be determined. Like right now, we don't have a schedule. I don't know when I'm going to be on or not on pre and post because we don't know when exactly what's going to happen, when the games are going to be, who they're going to be playing. So there's a lot in the air still. But what we know is that they'll have a chance in that round robin to get ready for whoever they get to take on in the round. Thanks to Alan. This date in Nats history plus the leftovers, the best of the rest before we get out of here, including a college football update for you on Grant and Danny next. Got a note from a change made to what you're allowed to do when you go to a game. And I got a note from the college football ranks for you. We'll see what Danny's got in his leftover drawer, the catch me all, before we get out of here. But first, this date in Nats history. We do it every day in our final segment. It is July 31st, 2020. This is actually the day of the Major League Baseball trade deadline every year. Not this year. We get another month or so beforehand. But on this date, 2 years ago, the Nats scored 25 runs to shellac the New York Mets, 25-4. Always a great day when you pummel the Mets. In fact, they scored a franchise record 25 runs on 26 hits en route to that victory. A year earlier, they had hung 20-plus runs on the Mets as well, which is kind of crazy. But the highlight will play to recognize the amazing accomplishment this date's in Nats history. Off the bench, Mark Reynolds pinch hitting in that game, hit a 3-run homer to make it 24-1.
Now the pitch, swung on, and Reynolds hits it in the air to deep center. Sending Jackson back, way back to the warning track, to the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. Onto the green, berm, batter's eye. Just to the left of dead center field. Second pinch hit home run of the year for Mark Reynolds. It is his 11th home run of the year. And it's another big inning for the Nationals. They put 5 runs on the board here in the bottom of the 8th inning. And it's now Washington 24, New York 1.
You can call me at 733-330-06. Oh, no, wait, that's the run totals by inning of the Washington Nationals in that game. That is the weirdest, craziest-looking box score. How about 25 runs on 26 hits, 1 error? What the hell happened in that game? But what a thumping that was. That was a breakout game for a number of people, including Anthony Rendon had 3 hits in that game. Bryce Harper had multiple RBIs and runs in
that game. Everybody had 3 hits in that game.
Everybody had hits, and it's always amazing to watch those kinds of explosions. Hitting is contagious, and that was a contagious hitting explosion.
By the way, 2 years ago today, that game, sad day for the Grant and Danny show, our good buddy Sean Kelly threw his hat after he gave up a home run, showing up Davey Martinez, and got booted off the team afterwards. So he's a buddy of ours, and we really liked having him on, and we still have him on. He's a good dude. It was just a terrible moment.
Was it his glove?
I thought it was.
Didn't he spike his glove?
Maybe both.
I got to look that up.
Look it up.
If you had asked me, like, all your money, tens of dollars on the line, I would have said glove. Let me look.
Maybe it's glove. I honestly don't remember. But I know that he showed up Davey and he got booted off the team.
And
that
the glare, yeah.
Supposedly got into it, like, in the clubhouse with Rizzo, who doesn't take crap from players or anybody, and he was off the Nats by the next day. So that's,
right, here we go.
That's
YouTube video coming up. Here we go.
All right, let me know. A couple of things real quick. Well, let's go with it.
No, hold on. I got to fast forward it. You keep doing the show.
All right.
Keep doing the radio show.
We'll come back to that. The SEC will hold a 10-game conference-only schedule beginning September 26th. They join the Big Ten, the Pac-10, as Power 5 conferences who have made that decision. The ACC has already included Notre Dame in its schedule, which came out. Open-ended game to follow based on their flexibility with Notre Dame. Big 12 is not announcing any decision until Monday as to what they're going to do. The other thing I wanted to mention really quickly, the Blackhawks, this relates to the Washington football team, I think, in some way, are banning fans from wearing Native American headdresses at future home games. These symbols are sacred, traditionally reserved for leaders who have earned a place of great respect in their tribe and should not be generalized or used as a costume, the team said. So they have no plans on changing their names, but they are saying that no longer can fans wear Native American headdresses to the game. What do you got?
Glove. The glove and the glare, that's what it was. He spiked his glove, glared into the dugout, and kind of stalked around the glove and then went over and picked it up. It was the glove.
No hat at all, huh?
No hat.
Interesting.
No hat.
All right. Good thing I didn't bet a dollar on that. Hey, Nick Madrigal is getting called to the big leagues for the White Sox. That means nothing to probably anybody.
But 117.
I just know I am steamed up. He's a 23-year-old kid who's about 5'7". He struck out 20 times in 163 minor league games. Just bat to ball, so much contact. I love all those young White Sox.
Well, I thought he was the pitcher weekend that they acquired recently. It's not. It's the position player. Never mind. I was wrong.
Yeah, he's a top five pick who is an infielder, but he's 5'7", and he's basically Altuve. He's going to be a good player. Danny, have a great weekend. We'll see you.
You too, pal. See you later, man.
Chad Dukes versus the world. Don't do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.